Take your Bibles, if you will, tonight. Turn it to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. You know, on second thought, turn it to Matthew 28, if you will. You know, I think I've changed my mind. Why don't you turn it to Hebrews chapter 8? Would you do that? Would you mind? Yeah, Hebrews chapter 8. We'll do that one. Do you mind standing for the reading of God's Word, if you're able to? You know what? On second thought, I know a lot of people can't stand, so I'm going to go ahead and let you sit down for the rest of the service. I don't know. I just, there's a lot of instability when you change your mind, you know? And some people just can't get it together. That's how I feel this evening. You know, we live in a changing world. Everything's changing around us, not just my mind, right? Think about the physical changes you've had in the last, just say, 10 years, for those of you that are at least 10 years old. As you age, think, things begin to look differently, mostly because you need glasses, all right? But not only do things look differently, you start to look differently. You get a little lighter on top, maybe because it's turning gray or maybe because it's turning loose, right? You look different, maybe a little rounder. Time just has a way of changing us. Not only are we not the same physically, we really aren't the same emotionally. As you age, you get a different perspective on life. And as you get older, you really start understanding what that verse, "Redeem the time," is all about, because time begins to run short. Even as a Christian, we begin to understand that things change. The theological landscape in America has changed, and churches in our country have changed, and around the world. Think about this. How many of your friends from high school do you still communicate with? And I don't mean, you know, Facebook interchanges, okay? That doesn't even count as communication. Our friends change. We change. And listen, I hope you change. I hope you're not the same that you were 10 years ago. I hope that you are more godly, that you have a closer relationship with God. I mean, our society and our culture is undergoing a continuous transformation. The norms and the values and beliefs that our society holds, it continues to shift over time, and that is reflecting the shifts in what our society or our societal attitudes are. I mean, there's a reason why the political left is called progressive, all right? The progressives, they are constantly marching or progressing further in a certain direction. Not just physically or emotionally, it's not just the culture in which we live, but even technology. The technological advancements have changed. 20 years ago, a beeper was high tech. And if you had one that could give you text in that beeper, I mean, that was the bleeding edge. That was the bleeding cutting edge right there. And 30 years ago, a fax machine was cutting edge. 90 years ago, just having a phone was cutting edge. I found this statistic. I couldn't verify it, but I thought it was interesting. If true, in 1971, 48% of households had a phone. 50% of households had a phone by the early, I think it was 73, I didn't see. Landlines never reached the popularity of mobile phones, and landlines peaked in 1997 when 82% of households had a phone in their house. That was eclipsed by 2000 with mobile phones within 80% of the houses by then. And now just about everybody has a cell phone. And so how we communicate, how we interact with the world is going to continue to change. And these changes are going to have a profound impact on how we live, how we experience life. Maybe you've heard a lot about self-driving cars and things like that. Just last month, there was a company that revealed a flying car, Model A, was granted legal permission from the Federal Aviation Administration to test and run the vehicle on the road and in the air. This was a move needed before it could be released to the public. So how we communicate, how we commute, is always going to be continuing to change. We live in fast-changing times. I started out just by changing my mind, just to remind you how we as humans change, and we change, and we change, and our culture, and our society, and our world is constantly changing. And boy, if we could just latch hold of one thing that never changes, we might have some security. Isn't there some confusion when things are changing? I wonder when technology was going to get ahead of me when I was younger. Now I don't even care. But tonight, the writer of Hebrews reminds us that there is not just something that doesn't change, but someone that never changes. Will you look at verse 8 with me in chapter 13 of the book of Hebrews? The author emphasizes the unchanging nature of the Lord Jesus Christ by stating Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Listen, this tells us of the eternal and timeless nature of Christ's character, of his attributes. This reminds us that there are some theological implications to this verse as well. The same, that phrase, the same, carries really the idea of this unchanging nature of Jesus Christ, who he is. It highlights his faithfulness, his reliability, even his immutability. It reminds us of that. But this immutability is not just about his nature. It's about his teachings as well. Not only his teachings, but his promises. And we're going to look at some of these in just a moment. And even as his nature, as being in the same essence and being God. For the believer, for the Christian, this ought to be great, great security. It ought to give us peace and assurance, because it reminds us that Jesus remains steadfast in his character. And in that, he can be trusted in every circumstance. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. That idea of the same, having his teachings and promises remain constant, not just for your lifetime, but for all time. That's important to remember. This immutability is rooted in his divine nature and in his faithfulness. So I studied this. I thought about how the Lord didn't teach one thing in Matthew chapter 6 and teach something else in Matthew chapter 20. There is a constancy in the Lord's teaching. Why? Because he never changes. He didn't change when he was alive. He wasn't different before he became incarnate, and he hasn't changed yet today. So the teachings that he gave us, whether it was loving our neighbor, talking about forgiveness, talking about righteousness, preaching about the kingdom of God that he was going to bring in one day, they are timeless and applicable in every era. It's not something just for the old timers. We talk about that old time religion, but it's just as applicable today. His teachings have not gone out of style, and they never will. Why? Because he hasn't changed. He doesn't change. His character never changes. It's unwavering and consistent. Those things that he taught were taught out of who he is. He is love. He is compassionate. He is just and merciful. And throughout his earthly ministry, Jesus displayed unwavering integrity and perfect obedience to the will of God. So this unchanging character reassures us as believers that we can trust him completely. The thing I want to spend some time on this evening are the unchanging promises that the Lord gave to his followers. Now, I know there's a lot of promises in the Bible, and by the way, the letters that are, or the words that are in red are not any more inspired than the rest of the book. But I do want you to think about some of the promises Jesus directly gave to his followers. I want to start off with one, and I'm going to see if you can think of any as we go through. I have some other ones listed here. But one of the promises that he gave were to anyone, was salvation, that is eternal life, to anyone that would believe on him. That whoever would follow him is not going to walk in darkness, but in light. John 3:16 is a very, very familiar verse. But I want to read it a little differently. What if it said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him today might have eternal life. He shouldn't perish." But you know, what if it was all these different maybes and would-bes and could-bes? Because we just don't know tomorrow what is going to be needed for salvation. We wouldn't know if we could please the Lord. We wouldn't know if we could have an eternal abode in heaven with God forever. Oh, my friends, I just want you to know, one of the things that we can pin our hope on is the fact that God never changes. And because of that, his promises are sure. They are amen. We don't have to doubt that. We don't have to wonder, will God carry this out for me? No. He will do what he said he will do, because he is who he said he is. So what's another promise that Jesus has given? John? Amen. I got that on there somewhere. He's promised to go prepare a place for those that love him. Is that John chapter 16, maybe? 14. I get those backwards sometimes. The vine is in there somewhere, right? I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee is a promise to be with us, not just for today, but forever. That's a great, great promise. These are great. Anybody else have a promise that the Lord himself gave to his followers? He is coming again. Amen. This is a great promise. Have you ever had somebody say, "Hey, I'll stop over," and they never show up? That's horrible. They're not reliable. They're not trustworthy. When Jesus said he's coming back again, part of the reason that we can trust him, not just because he's God, but because of his character, the fact that he is the same today as he was 2,000 years ago, as he was before the beginning of time. He is constant. That's good. Anybody else have a promise that Jesus has given? Yeah, he said, "I'll make you fishers of men." That's good. I didn't have that one on my list, brother. That's excellent. How about the peace that he gives? The promise of the Holy Spirit of God that he's promised to give. What about answered prayer that he's promised to give? "Whatsoever he shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." Not just the comforter that he gives us, but the peace that he gives. In John 14:27, "Peace I give you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." John 14:27. You know what else Jesus has promised to give us? Guidance. He's promised to give us wisdom. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." He wants you to go to him for guidance. James reminds us, if we lack wisdom, we can ask God. "Let him ask of God that giveth all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." That's not a promise directly from Jesus, but it is something that we can go to as knowing that Jesus is God. What about joy? Did Jesus promise his followers that their joy would be complete? "And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you." This goes along with salvation. But it is so much more than just the promise of eternal life. It is the fact that we have victory over death. For those who believe in him, we have victory over death and hell, and we are going to be raised again to eternal life. That's what he says in John 11, 25 and 26. Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? I'd like to ask you that question tonight, not just about salvation, but about the fact that Jesus and the promises that God has given in his word are just as sure today as the day that he gave them. Because he never changes. These promises are not affected by the passing of time or the changes of the circumstances of our life. I can remember when I was an assistant pastor in West Virginia, my pastor saw my Bible one day and it opened up and I had some writing in there. And I do a lot of my note-taking in my Bible in pencil, and he really gave me a hard time for that. He said, in a few years, you're not going to be able to read that. And he showed me his Bible that was in pen, and I couldn't read his not his writing, but the Bible was so old, it had really just, the ink had spread out, and it was really unlegible. His writing didn't help any, I'll just be honest with you. But I reminded my pastor, I said, you know, it's all right if I write in pencil, because my words aren't that important. It's the words that God left for us that are important, and those are eternal, and those are never going to change. When we begin to understand, I mean, when you really start laying a hold of the Lord's immutability, the fact that he never changes, that ought to bring great comfort. It ought to bring stability. You don't have to wonder, is he going to tell us to stand up again or sit down again? Are we going to have to, go to this passage, to that passage? See, there is instability when there is someone that changes. I heard part of a message from I don't know that he was ever conservative, but he, this pastor, mega church, thousands and thousands of people, getting up and saying that the Old Testament really doesn't matter. It's not reliable. Science is more reliable than the Word of God. Science, the science will never contradict the Word of God. True science will never contradict the Word of God. But that's what he was saying. He said any time that there's a conflict, you can trust science. He said the only thing that matters is just the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to name his name. His name's Andy Stanley, and you ought to stay 10,000 miles away from anything that man says. By the way, what would it matter if Jesus resurrected? What would be the purpose if Adam never sinned? If there was never a fall, there'd be no need for a Savior. And I'll tell you, he's believed the lie of the devil, and he's a false teacher. I'll say that plainly and clearly. But he certainly changed from what he believed as a child, I'm sure. Or maybe he's just come out and shown what he's believed. I don't know. But I'm telling you, people will change. But God never changes. And the Lord Jesus Christ never changes. I want you to think about this in context of who it was written to. Those first century Jewish believers, right? They were tempted to go back to the sacrificial system, and their whole life was being turned upside down. Their families were expelling them, and all they had was the church. And all this change and all this upheaval, the writer of Hebrews is saying, listen, I know there's a lot going on in your life, but I want you to know that there is a constant. There is something that never changes. There's something that you can grab a hold of, and it's not going to move when the whole world is moving. And his name is Jesus. I'm thankful that Jesus' immutability can give us assurance that his work of salvation is unalterable. The sacrifice he made on the cross for the forgiveness of your sins and my sins remain effective for all eternity for every single person that places their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, regardless of what era, since the resurrection, doesn't matter the passage of time. That ought to give us assurance of our eternal life. I'm so glad that the Lord doesn't change the way of salvation. I remember growing up believing that I had to be good enough to get to heaven. What if God decided to make that the standard? He just said, well, I'm changing my mind. I'm no longer going to give people the blood of Christ. It's going to be on their own merit. Well, we'd be all sunk right immediately. I want you to know that. God doesn't do that. That ought to bring us security, because your salvation then is not based on merit. It's not based on what you can do for God, because God's plainly laid it out, and He's not going to change that. So, this passage, verse 8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever, they emphasize that the Lord is not subject to the limitations of time like you and I are. He existed not only in the past, physically, but He existed before the foundation of the world, before He became incarnate. And He remains in the present. And He's going to endure forever in the future. This eternal nature of the Lord Jesus Christ sets Him apart from the created world, His creation. And it helps then to begin to establish His divine nature. It affirms, this one verse, His pre-existence, and therefore the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not a God of a world. He is the God of this world. I want to touch on that thought of not only His pre-existence, but His divine nature. I mentioned this from time to time, but I've not done an in-depth study of all the different Greek gods, but what little I have read, I'm just astounded at the capriciousness of their gods. That is to say, their whimsical ways of making decisions. There was no, if you worship this god, maybe they'd be kind to you, or maybe they'd get mad and stomp you down. You just didn't know from day to day what that god was going to do. And some of the stories are so fanciful and so ridiculous. But as we look at this one verse, we're reminded of the divine nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. As the eternal Son of God, Jesus has the divine nature. He is described as being fully God and fully man, but He is co-equal with the Father and the Holy Spirit. And this eternality reflects His uncreated, self-existent, and timeless nature. I'm so glad that Jesus is God and that He never changes. He's not capricious in the way that He deals with mankind. His unchanging character, this eternality of the Lord Jesus, reminds us of His character. It remains constant and unchanging throughout all time. His moral attributes, things like love, righteousness, His justness, His faithfulness, they are eternal and unwavering. And so you don't have to wonder, am I pleasing the Lord? He's told us how to please Him. If you love Me, keep My commandments. It's been very easy. It's been hasn't changed. It's been unwavering. And His unchanging nature ought to assure us and give us confidence of His reliability, of His trustworthiness in every circumstance that we come up against. One thing I thought was interesting, and I touched on this, but I want to delve just a little bit deeper into this. The fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is relevant, not just to us in this day and age, not just in the day and age in which He walked the earth, but what he's taught is relevant to every generation. Why? Because the truths that he has given to us do not change. The principles, the redemptive work, the teachings, they're not confined to a specific era or just a certain culture. It's for all mankind in every time. And it remains relevant and powerful throughout every generation. You know, there is something called universal truth. There is something called objective truth. Not subjective, but objective truth. Jesus taught profound truths that transcend cultural and societal and historical context. His teachings, whether it was on love or really on any topic that he taught, helped those individuals in those societies, regardless of where in the world they are. You know what that tells us? That tells us we ought to heed his teachings, because it's going to help us in our culture, in our society. Well, you say, let me stop for a second before I get ahead of myself. When I say help, I don't mean just to make your life better. I mean to help you to live a life that is pleasing to Almighty God. That ought to bring satisfaction then to the believer. And so it doesn't matter what society says. It doesn't matter if the societal norms change. The teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ never change. When he says things like in the beginning, there was Adam and Eve. He references Adam and Eve. You know what that tells me? Not only is he authenticating the book of Genesis, but it tells me that there's only Adam and Eve. It means there's a man and a woman. And culturally, I just want you to know, no matter what culture says today, God is still clear on not only that, but on the relevance of God's word. It tells me God's word is relevant for you today. Not only the universal truths, but it tells us of our condition. The Lord is very clear at pointing out the human condition. The Lord's teaching addresses the fundamental aspects of our condition, including our need for salvation. I think Jesus touches on the search for meaning and purpose. And people are lost because they have no purpose. Well, they're lost because they haven't trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, but they're drowning in a culture that teaches them that they have no purpose. The Lord's teachings go beyond just mere moral instruction. The Lord teaches about spiritual realities, how we can have a relationship with God. He teaches us about the nature of sin and the pathway to salvation. Jesus, his teaching is so relevant and so needed in our day and age, just like it has been for every generation since he walked this planet. You know what else has not changed? The transforming power of the gospel that he's given. It still changes people today. His teaching, not just on love and forgiveness, but even on reconciliation, they have the potential to transform people's lives. Not from the outside in, but from the inside out. He's able to heal broken relationships. He gives unity, promotes righteousness. He instructs us to be compassionate. And I'll just say the transforming power and the impact of our Lord's message is still relevant for us today. Let me give you one last idea. Hope. The Lord gives us hope Hope doesn't diminish over time because we haven't seen the Lord or because he hasn't come back yet. But the Lord's message offers hope and purpose to every person that places their faith and trust in him. The promise of eternal life, the promise of comfort during hard times and the assurance of God's presence provides that hope. It gives meaning to serve the Lord in the face of life's challenges. And that hope that Jesus offers remains relevant for every generation. Why? Because it doesn't change. It doesn't change from one generation to the next. The message doesn't change from one continent to the next. But it all is rooted not just in the Bible that never changes, but it's because God never changes. And because God never changes, Jesus cannot change because he is God. So when we come to a verse like Hebrews 8, let's not just run past that thing and think, oh, good, I'm so glad that we have a constant Savior. No, this is a declaration that Jesus is God. And he's never going to change. And in a world that is seemingly just falling off a cliff and just turning upside down, let's hold on and cling to the Lord who never changes. I like the way the author says it. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever.